or in your presence, your way. We belong in the presence of our Abba. So we gather here this Shabbat, the tabernacle, the house of Yisrael, as we come to esteem your mighty name, to exalt it, to give great reverence unto the only true name, the only name given under the Shemayam, whereby we as men must be saved, that we are delivered from the cloaks and the powers of darkness, that we may walk in the presence of our Abba, to esteem Him, to exalt Him, to cry out unto you in a pure worship, as we lift up your name, as we esteem the power of your character. In this tabernacle this day, we do want to bless you, our Abba, and to worship you. We want to thank you and to praise you, for you have been of good to us all on this week. You have brought us through perilous journeys without us being even knowledgeable of the circumstances and situations that surrounded us. As our brothers have traveled the highways, and there are many that lost their lives this week, and you brought them safely. You kept them intact. You kept the enemy abated from them. For that I thank you. There are many that were younger than us, and much better physical shape than many of us in here. Yet the life and breath was taken out of them, and you sustain us one more day, that we may honor you and exalt you in the presence of a generation that is consumed with heathenism, their practices, their corrupt ways. And yet you show your house, your people, the vile nature of their own leaven. You show us those things in us that brings the terror of Yahweh upon His people. For you have always sent judgment to the house of Israel to correct them, that they may walk circumspectly before you, in fear of you, loving you, esteeming you, holding fast, Yahweh, to your mitzvahs, claiming your truth of Torah, and the great revelation of that truth and the life of it, Yahshua HaMashiach, the hope of Yisrael, that we can do all things by the strength of this true powerful witness of our Abba, Yahshua, that we can serve you, we can bless you, we can worship you and esteem you. So as we bow today in the tabernacle on the Shabbat, we do want to pray for the shalom of Jerusalem as you bring us to this time of Pesach, of watching ourselves and cleansing ourselves from every sin and corruption that besiege our minds and take us into the dark gully of darkness, that we perform things according to the flesh, which is an enmity against you, Yahweh. So revive us this day as we prepare our hearts. Help us this day as we acknowledge you, as we know that there are many brothers and sisters that are so less accommodating in hearing the truth and being in fellowship, and those that are in abject poverty and their lives, as far as we can perceptualize, are very grueling and taskful. a great task to get bread, water. So I pray for my precious brothers and sisters. I pray for them. I pray for these in this nation that we have taken everything so for granted, that we are deserving when there are brothers in India will fast for weeks and cry out and labor, and daughters of Zion will labor before you for days and hours in prostrate positions, cry out. We, a lethargic and slothful generation of people in this nation, and the nations that we call the industrialized nations, the nations of technology, we have no time for you, Yahweh. So above all, we esteem our brothers and our sisters that have a sense of low degree. I esteem them all higher than myself. Men like Pastor Babu in a poverty-stricken area in India, strengthen him, touch his body. Elder Martin there in Kenya, very little water, and the drought is reaping havoc upon the lives of the people. I pray for him, and I do want to thank you, Yahweh, that we were able from this small gathering and community do not have very much finance. I thank you for men like Brother Michael and his wife, those that sent offerings this week, that we could take the funds and help those brothers and sisters in places like that. So I thank you. Their faithful giving, their continuous giving. Brother Ward, Brother David Money, Brother and Sister Lorenz there in Florida, I bless you, Yahweh, that the funds were here to take care of those things. So bless them. Strengthen their hearts to know that you will bless them mightily for our brother and sister in needs in strange places. Places whereby a piece of bread to gain that for their sons or daughters, it is a tremendous, laborious task each day. And this nation, those that are techno-savvy nations, has such abundance of bread that they throw it away. Think not about the importance of the water and how valuable it is. I pray for those that need bread, Yahweh. The body of HaMashiach. Those that are sincere, Yahweh, and that love you. So thank you, Yahweh. Those that have sent the gifts on this week and last week, that they were used for the kingdom work, I bless you for that. And I thank you as they listen live in the broadcast, in the services here, Yahweh. Those that are listening, strengthen them today. Cross the heart of those that are listening to rejoice and to consider as they look at themselves and see, as we in this nation, how richly we live, and yet we don't even realize it in our heart. It's never content. What about like Pastor Babu? The abundance of the people there, a pastor, a shepherd, if he cannot help the people, what good is he? And yet, when there's enough to get a little rice, a little tea, a little bread, our heart rejoices. And yet this nation and the people that say they love you, Yahweh, the trinkets for their children, the things that have no bearings in life, they are distraught because they cannot retrieve or purchase those things. And our brothers, how dwelleth the Ahava Yahweh in our heart? When we know that our brothers and sisters are in need and we have no compassion, a generation of people that have lost all compassion. That have no thought but me, myself, and I. It is not you, Yahweh. And I know that. And I understand that. So this day, I thank you. For we have abundant bread. We are able to put seeds in the ground. And wait upon the rain as I thought last night in prayer. That we have sown the seed. But unless you send the rain, there shall be no increase. So we put it in your hands. We trust you for the increase. We believe you, Yahweh, for the increase. So bring forth, as the seed began to yield, we will know that only you, Yahweh, can cause it to yield the abundance. And I shall rejoice before you. I shall sing before you. And I shall dance in the presence of my Abba all the days of my life. I shall rejoice in your presence. And thank you for all things. Bless this assembly today, the house of gathering here. And those in every part of these states and around the world. As the Shabbat has passed in other parts of the country, other parts of the world, you bless them and help us here today. Those that are listening by the live stream today, strengthen them and bless them and help them, I pray, that they may have ear to hear what you always speaks unto his assembly. And we do pray for our enemies. Those that come against us and that work insidious works against us. And that is the body, Yahweh. Not this little small seed of the remnants. But there's a whole of the seed in every country, every nation. Your people are there of every ethnicity, every extreme of variation of skin color. We find the house of Israel. So we ask you to bless us all and to strengthen us in this worship today as we pour out, help us, Yahweh. All of them to you, our hearts, that we may serve you in the beauty of your Kodesh power, set apart to please you, to worship you, in the mighty hope of your Yeshua, HaMashiach, the Lamb of Israel. We shall bless you and praise you forevermore. And all of his kid oceans cried, hallelujah, way. Hallelujah, way. Come on, lift your hands and give him honor. Come on and praise his name. Come on and esteem his mighty name. Hallelujah, way. Hallelujah, way. For this is a day, your Shabbat, that we have assembled in your mighty name. For there is no other name that we must call the solemn assembly, the convocation unto our Abba. So we gather in that great name, the great name of Yahweh, the excellent name, the name that is full of majesty and power, in the only name whereby we that are in this Olam can be saved and will be saved. So as we gather in your name, Abba, we bless you and praise you. We esteem you. We do pray that your modern servant will speak with great clarity today, that you will give him unction from above, that the words may fill the heart of the people. They may judge themselves according to the spoken words which is written in the heart of your people. Instruct us in the mighty power of your Torah, the prophets, as they spoke on the profound things of Yahweh. And as HaMashiach came to bring the life and the power of your truth to man, yet he still rejects it. So we pray that you help us all today. And give us strength of heart, openness to our understanding, and eyes to see and to perceive that now is the acceptable time of our precious Abba. We bless you today and we thank you for all things in Yahshua's mighty name and hope. And all the Kedoshim cried, Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Look to your neighbor and say unto them simply, Shalom. You may be seated. May Yahweh bless you today and strengthen your hearts. May He cause your character to be built upon the premises and the foundation of truth. May He cause your heart to love Him above all things, and that your desire will be to please Him and to walk in the strength of His truth. For the time is at hand that we must understand and know without a shadow of a doubt what Yahweh commands to His house and what He expects of His people. This is a generation that has been massaged. Its ego, its character, its likes and dislikes. And so we have had men to massage this generation that they may maintain or keep a certain number of people. Yahweh doesn't work that way. He uproots and He shows His character to a corrupt, wicked generation that rejects Him continuously, that have no love for His emits, His truth. That is the character of this generation. And that is the reason that He raised up in the days of Yisrael judges and prophets to express His character and what He commanded to the house of Yisrael. Now we are in a generation of people that are enemies of Yahweh. And He speaks to those that are His enemies. Well, who are the enemies of Yahweh? What a man. When any person defies and reject Torah teaching, when he say that the Tanakh, the Old Covenant, has no relevance, that is an enemy of Yahweh. Because if one cannot receive that, that one cannot receive the identity and the truth of HaMashiach. And that is why you have so many schisms and isms today. It is one thing that HaKodash Ruah does, it unites the people of Yahweh. We have seen the operation of certain spirits in the land because they're very divisive and they divide. Yahweh says to His house, there is one truth that is applicable for the entire house, regardless to what your ethnicity, regardless to what language you speak. The word of Yahweh speaks the same in every language. It is a requirement of our Abba. It shows us how frail and how weak and how sinful the heart of man is. You must understand that this book, or the book that you possess, He was dealing simply with His house. It is a book that He dealt with His people. It is a book to show us His attitude toward His people. It is a book to show us His character toward His people. Because it was His people that rejected His Torah instruction. It was His people that stoned the prophets. It was His people that defied the judgment of those judges. It was His people that had disdain for the offerings that should have been brought into the house of Yahweh for sacrificial offerings unto Him, that they defied the Levitical priesthood of Yahweh. It is His people that have caused a disarray of things in the earth today. It is His people that are wicked. It is His people that are His enemies. It is His people that rejects His truth. So it has nothing to do with the world. It has nothing to do with those that do not understand Yahweh. It is His people. And so the Tanakh shows us the character of Yahweh and His dismay against His people, toward His people. And the reason is because of their vile, sadistic, evil and corrupt ways. You're full of corruption and schisms and lies and wickedness. And it brings us to an era whereby we must begin to search our own hearts and to see what thing that guides you and motivates you, whether it comes from above, whether it is sensual, earthly, or whether it is from above, whether it is from the Ruah of Yahweh, whether it is against Him. And we know that if we are carnal, that we are enmity, we have hatred, a dislike for Him. And that is the thing that, as I will show us today, that it causes the anger of Yahweh. I guess this is a generation that will call that a flaw. And as you look at the preponderance of evidence of Scripture, that the anger of Yahweh, it is not just kindled overnight. Scripture teaches that. Because we do not have an affection for Scripture, it has no value for us. I said to Elder Martin this morning as we were dialoguing, I said, you must work for 9 hours a day. Certainly you can keep Him on your mind. You sleep for 8 hours a day. And if a man spends 2 hours with his family, what time is there left for Yahweh? We are a generation that rather spend 3 or 4 hours in trivial pursuits. We will look over the sales paper. We can spend 3 or 4 hours in Walmart and Kmart, but we have no time for the book. We find that the book is an inconvenience unto us, but Walmart and Kmart and the dollar dime store, that's a convenience to us. We have no compunction spending 5, 6, 7 hours pursuing trivial things that have no real value. But yet in the course of a week, we cannot spend 5 hours with Yahweh. Somewhere we have a sick mentality. Somewhere we are twisted, we've missed it all. We spend that much time pursuing the things that are carnal. And we know that our carnal nature hates Yahweh. And yet there is no time to study. I'm not talking about your reading, because you read fictitious books that way. Yahweh doesn't tell you to read. He tells you to study. Let it become an intricate part of your life. Let it become the source of your life, that you become so inundated with His truth that you cannot function without the daily feeding of your truth. That your life is all out of kilter if there is not a feeding and a dining of the truth of Yahweh. And we do not spend much time in that. We have no compunction going to Walmart looking at the same thing over and over and over and over, waiting for a sale. And yet we have no desire to buy truth and sell it not. That's this generation. And Yahweh has, He has in His own supreme power, has divided the time of man into segments whereby we will have time for Him. You're going to die. What are you going to pursue in this life? Because death is imminent. It is going to come. Well, I'm young. That means nothing. I want to stress this today. I hope that my young friend is listening. If he is not, that's all right with me. But I hope he is listening, because I want to express the character of Yahweh, one of the components of the character of Yahweh. And I want to see what Scripture says. And as I studied this message, I did not utilize all Scripture, because there are hundreds of Scripture to show the character of Yahweh in this aspect. Now this is Yahweh, because the book expresses whom He is. And if we reject whom He is, then we reject truth. And when we reject truth, we become an enemy of Yahweh. We are not His friend. Because HaMashiach says unto the apostle, the Cilicians, He said to them, I will not call you servants any longer. He said, but I will call you friends. Because a servant knows not what the ruler of the house, the master, does. It is not his affair. He has no business knowing. He says, but I will call you friends. For I will show you and reveal unto you the very mind, the heart, and the very thoughts of Yahweh. That is why we must allow and let the mind of HaMashiach dwell in us. We have a sensual mind. We have a carnal mind, because that mind doesn't please Yahweh. Did HaMashiach please His Abba? Did he do some things to please him? He did all things to please him. You ask yourself that question, am I doing all things to please him? Am I doing 10% of the things to please him? Or 20%? Do you jeopardize your entire being over some trivial thing? That's this generation. It has no deep affection for Yahweh. We have affection for natural things, sons and daughters, kinsmen. But when it comes to Yahweh, that it begins with him and is going to end with him. Because it begins with his identity and it ends with you are assured that this is his truth and you obey it wholeheartedly. So it all begins with him and it ends with him. And what the powers of darkness have done, they have in the subtle ways, they have given unto you pleasures of the flesh. And it caused you to reject Yahweh. There was one profound man in Scripture that he chose rather to endure the affliction of the work of Yahweh than to enjoy the pleasure of sin just for a season. And that's all it's going to last. It's only a short period of time. That's all the pleasure of sin lasts. When a man puts his hand to the plow of truth and he turns his back, he's not fit. We see that in Scripture. That Yahweh brought Israel out of great bondage, Babylon, 70 years. He brought them out under the oppressive regimes of Pharaoh. And they came out and they turned against him. And he destroyed them by the thousands. For some reason, we do not believe that that is the one that created all things for his pleasure. We don't believe that he has power to do what he chooses to do. We don't believe that he has ordained all things. He has set a perfect pattern. Because every word that Yahweh speaks is perfect. What does it do? Can I tell you what it does? It establishes the sovereignty and the power of him in our hearts. And if we do not hear what he speaks, then that will never be established in us. And because we do not have the ability to shema, to perceive, to understand, with great understanding what he speaks, then the validity of Yahweh is not established in our hearts. Do we have a pseudo-type God that we have established has nothing to do with truth. It is a God, a spirit of earthly sensual desires, and it turns its heart away from Yahweh because there is no foundation there. And so every word that Yahweh speaks, it builds the strength of the character of our Abba in us. That's why he speaks to us. If you see a strange child on the street that is carrying on in such a disrespectful manner, do you walk over to that child and correct that child? Well, certainly you do not. But if you see one that is of your own, and one of the same house, that one you will correct, will you not? You will speak to that one. And that is what Yahweh is doing. He's simply speaking to his house and to let them know and to understand, you don't know me. You don't understand my character. You have been bathed and soothed in your pseudo-religion. You don't know who I am. You don't have any perception of my character and what I express. And in order for you to know how I express myself, you better go to Scripture. I've given you a roadmap so that you will understand how I express myself in my Ahava, my love, my mercies, my kindness, my long sufferings, and also in the midst of my wrath and my anger, my indignation, and my terror and my fire upon you as well. You better understand that too. That is one aspect of my character, my Ahava. That is another aspect, my mercy, and also my vengeance and my terror and my judgment. That's a part of me too. You better understand that. What parent do not possess that character? If you are a true parent or parents, you express mercies, kindness, tenderness, and also you express wrath, sharpness and anger, indignation and wrath. What parent has not done that? You're not a good parent then if you haven't expressed that. Because foolishness is bound in the heart of children. And the rod of Yahweh dries it out. I want to begin in Scripture because I have verses that I do want to speak on. I have quite a bit I want to read, but I do want to extrapolate from that what I read. That it may bring clarity and understanding to your mind. That you may understand Yahweh. And there is just one aspect of the very terror and the anger of Yahweh that I want to deal with. And it is enunciated, the S, the earth, his anger. And I want to deal with just this perspective of it. There's a variation of Yahweh's anger. Scripture teaches that. I said to the young man that how can we understand the dynamics of Yahweh? He spoke in a language that was only 3,500 words. And the words were basically dealing with him and his character. And the words were pure. And so the dynamics of the language in the Hebraic language that he spoke to his Hebraic people in, it all had to do with worship. They had gone into Egypt and learned the pagan doctrines and the pagan dialogues of the Egyptians. That is just like a community in this nation. One speaks and more of idioms and slang jargon. Do you understand that? You have what we call those in the hood. They will speak in a language, but it is a slang jargon. It is taken from the English language to express their emotions and their feelings according to their Ebonics or their language. You got the hillbillies that do not understand the vernacular or the English protocol, and so they speak in a vernacular that express their demeanor and their character. And so that is what Yahweh did in the Hebraic language. That he may express his character, that you may understand him in a term that you cannot say, I didn't know. Because what he says in this term of Ev, when he speaks to us of this kind of anger, he wants us to understand that. Do you understand? He wants us to understand the very dynamics of whom he is. And you can never understand that if we spend no time with him. Reading the scripture just like reading a book. Shaul never told us to read. He told us to study. When someone prepares themselves for a test, do they read or do they study? Do they try to remember every detail of what thing that they perceive as a part of the test that they're going to have? That's what, when one studies, that's what they do. They become so familiar with that issue or that thing that it is retained in them. When you read, you don't retain everything. I can read things fairly quick. I have my own form of speed reading. I can read articles pretty quick. I can skim a page, and I can understand the gist of it. Now, I don't understand the detail of everything, but I can understand that. But that doesn't mean that I retain that. That's what studying does. It causes one to retain, because studying is an effort. It's an energy. It breaks the brain out of its mode of lethargism. That's what it does. And so we don't find many that study today. We know how to study to do wickedly, but to do what Yahweh says, we find that very shortcoming. It's a hard thing, isn't it? I want to deal with this aspect of Yahweh. And he begins here dealing with his people. He deals with the enemies of the assembly. Well, who are the enemies of the assembly? You are an enemy of Yahweh's assembly when you diametrically oppose him, when you oppose Torah. So he deals with his people here because I want to define these words for you. Even the Webster and the standardized American dictionaries will give you basically the same meaning as the Hebraic expression and the Greek expression of this word. F, the anger of Yahweh, what is it? Is that a flaw in his character? Or is that part of Yahweh's demeanor? Yahweh says in Yeshaya, Isaiah chapter 34, verse 1. Now, he is not speaking to a singular people. He is speaking to the nations whereby his people are. And the nations of the world today, they are against truth. Or they will post the mitzvah in their halls of whoredom, but it is not instructed in their hearts, their love to obey Yahweh. He says in Yeshua 34, verse 1, he tells you, he says, come near, get close to me. Abandon oneself. Come near, you nations. Now that is plural, isn't it? Yes. Did he say nation, Yisrael, or nations? He said, you nations, you get near to me. For what reason? To Shema. To hear Yahweh. When one truly hears, they will open up their ear. They will pay attention to that. They will be very attentive. They will be very intense. They will give their energy to perceive that and they will acknowledge their hearing. And you can discern that upon a people when they're hearing. So he said, first of all, you got to get near. And this is a generation of people that is not near Yahweh. It is a religious people that is far from him. He even say that you're far from him. He said, get near me, first of all, so you may hear. And if he's talking in a way that you want to hear, you will get near him. So he tells us to get near your nations to hear. And he said, once you hear this, you better listen. When one listens to something, they internalize that. They take it within their heart, their mind, and they began to dissect it. You understand that they began to dissect it. They began to break it down. They began to break it down by sentence, by words, by the veracity or the force of what words were spoken. Now, that's what they do when they listen. When you hear something and then you have listened to that, then you began to break it down. You began to break it down into terms that you can understand. It becomes a reality to you. We are people that hear, but we respond because we don't listen. And because we don't listen, we don't know why we respond in the way we do, because we have not heard it actually as it should have been spoken unto our ear. He said, now I want you to listen, you people. He says, now I won't let the earth hear also, and all that is therein. He did not exclude anyone. He said, the world and all things that come forth of it. What Yahweh is saying, when I speak, you just be quiet and you get close to hear what I say. He said, I want the world to hear what I'm saying, because if you all think that I am a shallow creator, if you think that I'm some figment of your imagination, if you think that you crawl out of the ocean, now the scientists or the archaeologists and paleontologists, they are saying that they have found this creature that had crawled out of the sea and it became this upright walking Homo sapien. What an ignorant stupidity of man. What a corrupt idea. Man was made. Nothing has mutated from some creature, some being, into some other life that was not after its likeness. And Yahweh made everything, and he made male and female. They came together and they created things after their likeness. He made dogs to create dogs. He made cats to create cats. And lions, lions. Horses, horses. Goats, goats. A goat cannot produce a sheep. And a sheep cannot produce a mule. He made everything to come forth after his kind. He made gauges to come forth after their kind. Sure, there have been propagation of plants. And there have been the DNA taken from other plants to create some other form of plant. But it is a hybrid form and it's not a true form. And it cannot reproduce itself. Only the true seed can produce itself. The homosexuals are hybrid mentality and a hybrid form of thinking. They cannot have babies. So everything yield forth after its own kind. And so a fish did not come out of the sea and began to walk one day. How did it live upon the earth? How many came out there? Stupid, ignorant, foolish, institutionalized generation. The institutions have taken any sense of reasoning from them. Because they have been trained to be ignorant and to be stupid. They have been trained to be manipulated and to be used. Sure they have. The baby boomers that I'm a part of, Sister Horn and Sister Karen and Brother David, these were the ones that were the pioneers of education. And look at them today. Their homes are misfit. They're broken. They have no stability. Their children have no character. None whatsoever. And they have since that they have wasted all their time and energy in what? They have not profited anything. They're broke. They have no funds. And that's the truth. I don't want to get off this message because it's vitally important. And I want you to hear, brothers and sisters. It is time that we began to sharpen ourselves. If you are an athlete preparing for some form of competition, you must sharpen yourself. An athlete study every dynamics of his body. A woman, she will watch films, how she runs, how her hands are held to break all for 1/1000 of a second. That 1/1000 of a second brings a more perfect time. They look for every stride, every motion, every body. They shave every ounce unnecessary pound that is not important to overcome and to subdue their challenge. And yet we do not shave ourselves. We do not, as Brother Jermaine was speaking to me the other day, he said, Pastor Roberts, these things, Scripture tells us that these things are the flesh. This is not some kind of spirit that's working in someone. It is simply the works of flesh. And Scripture identifies a lot of works of flesh. And so there are things that an athlete will do to bring that 1/1000 of a second. Because that 1,000 is the victory or the loss. And what I'm saying to you, what we need to do is do the same thing. Do you know where you began? You began with cleansing yourself from all your filthiness of your flesh. And those vile, dark things that are hidden in you. They respond the way it responds. So you cleanse yourself of all filthiness of the flesh and the ru'ah. And you began to set yourself apart for the service of Yahweh in fear. You began to fear Him. You began to honor Yahweh and to love Him. Yahweh says, my enemies, I want you to hear. I want you to hear my people. I brought you out of a great bondage and you became my enemies. I caused the very power of Pharaoh to be brought to nothing and you challenged me. I brought death in the midst of the house of Pharaoh, that the firstborn of everything was consumed, and then you challenged me. That's this generation. Who woke you up this morning? Who put breath in you? You challenge him? Will you tell him you oppose him? That's not even an ignorant man. That's not even a foolish man. That is a man of a reprobate mind. That is a man that has no character of Yahweh. Yahweh has not seen us with this melancholy dessert that most folks like today. He showed us actually the makeup of our mind, our flesh, and what things have caused you to reject Him and become His enemy. So He tells you to hear. I want you to hear. I want you to come near all the earth. I want you to hear. Why? He said, for the indignation, for the wrath, the fiery wrath, the indignation, the anger of Yahweh is upon some nations, all nations, Canada, America, Europe, Britain, France, Africa, he says, upon all nations, and his fury. Now, that is a profound word there. Now, it means his heat, his rage, his hot displeasure, a venomous poison. When one is in fury, it's an anger that is uncontrollable. He said, my fury, my anger, my hot displeasure is going to be like a poison. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to destroy you. We don't think that Yahweh is that way. He said, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to bring you down to the pit of darkness. He said, my fury, my heart rage, my poison, is upon all of their armies because you want to fight against me. And this is the generation that they band themselves together as they did against Shaul. We will not eat or sleep or do anything until this one is destroyed. And that's what they do. They try to destroy the Torah teaching, the truth of Yahweh, the mitzvot, the correction of Yahweh. Well, I don't believe it's that way, so they band together in their armies of deception. They band together in their religious sects. They band together in their identity of their color, their race, their ethnicity. They band together in their intellectual properties, and they possess none. How can a man possess any intellectual properties when he has learned from some other man? He doesn't even know what man he's learned from. He has learned things from books. He doesn't even know the character of the man that wrote the book. I do know the character of this one because he tells me his character. I do understand his likes and dislikes because he tells me that. I do understand that he will rage like a wild thing when you reject his truth. I do understand that he's going to pour out his fury, his hot displeasure with great venomous fire upon a people that have become his enemy. And this generation is an enemy of Yahweh. Your sons and your daughters, their speech, their attitude, their character. You cannot even discern love in them, any desire for Yahweh. Nothing there for them. Will I weep and cry with them? Not one of them shall I weep and cry. When a man has been fed the beauties of Yahweh's truth, in the presence of Yahweh, when he reject that, a young daughter, let them reject Yahweh. He never told you to save your sons and daughters. He told you to save you. And I'm telling you, my friend, it's going to take all you got to make sure you're right. How do you know that, preacher? Look how you mess up daily. Look how you turn away from Yahweh's truth. So who are you going to save? Who are you going to save? Look at how you and your hearing cause you to sin egregiously, willfully, without any thought, what you're doing against Yahweh. Who are you going to save? You're not going to save anyone. You're not going to deliver anyone. A wise man, he will save one. And how much he is wise. And not only that, when a man is wise, he has the pure wisdom of Yahweh. And we're not just walking on that threshold, are we? We're not maintaining those things. We have sensual wisdom. It is earthly. The wisdom that is earthly, it is sensual. Your wisdom pertains flesh. It cares about me, myself, and I, my daughter, my son, my children, my house, me, what I did. That's sensual. It is not the wisdom of Yahweh. It is not one of the seven pillars of the wisdom that Yochanan talked about in the book of James. Yaakov, that is not the wisdom of Yahweh. It is not pure, the wisdom that we possess. Your sons and daughters are given over. Their sons and daughters, they are born for darkness. Because they have not been birthed by the power of the Ruah. And they were inhabited because Yahweh made it that way. Did he raise up the Egyptians? Did he destroy them? Did he raise up the Hittite? Did he destroy them? Did he raise up the Jebusite? Did he destroy them? Did he raise up a mighty nation called the Philistines? Did he destroy them? Did he raise up Pharaoh for what purpose? To get honor? And we don't believe that today. We don't think that that's part of his character today. Well, we have this pagan Jezebel that they call Grace. That's what she is, a pagan Jezebel. So they use this goddess to denounce the unmerited love and the favor of Yahweh. So it's by grace, lies from hell. It's by Yahweh just choosing you. Put the seal upon you. He has not chosen everyone to put his seal upon. That's why he said, let the wheat and the tear together. And I will send forth the reapers. And he sent forth the reapers in this hour. He's sending forth his relatives, and they are separated. And there's nothing mama going to do, daddy, none of you all at all. If you think you are fooling yourselves. You're not going to do anything at all. What you need to do is buckle down and get your mind and your heart right, that you will not oppose Yahweh in his actions and his deeds when he brings forth his judgment upon your sons and your daughters to show you their corruption and their vileness. You better get your mind right that you can bless him in all things and not get angry with him and not show yourself to be an enemy of Yahweh. Well, why you do this? I did it because I can. You know there are police officers that will stop you. You say, why do you stop me? Because I can. What are you going to do? Well, man, you should arrest him. Disorderly conduct. Resisting arrest. That's all they do. And Yahweh said, what are you going to do, Tom? Will the creature say to the one that made him, I will not do it? What are you going to say to him? This is an ignorant generation. And I will tell us all this today, this melancholy spirit that is going for today. It is not one that teaches this people. Because Yahweh always began, brothers and sisters, within you. He brings judgment to you. He doesn't bring the judgment to your neighbor. He brings it to you. He begins with you. And every word is a pure word. It's a sword. It's a two-edged, and it cuts you. He intends to cut you. He's not concerned about that one next to you. He's concerned about you. That's why he's cutting you. That's why he intends to cut you. And if it doesn't cut the one next to you, he never intended to cut them. Why? Because every son that Yahweh receive, every daughter, he chasing them. If he doesn't correct you, you are a fellow bastard. Isn't this a generation of bastardom? Sure, it is naturally. I'm a natural man, but I was born in the 50s under the spirit of bastardom. My mother had me out of wedlock. You can say what you want, you can dress it up, but that's what it is. That's what it is. You can try to change it and alter it, but that is not the precise word. It is the precise word. And so I was born under that auspice and that power. And the only thing that delivered me from under the power of that was because I was a son of Yahweh. He had elected me from the foundations of the earth. He had called me out of before I was formed in my mother's belly. Just like he did Jeremiah. He had called this man to stand fast on his truth. And so this is a generation of that. When you have a generation that's like that, they have no father. And this is a generation that has no Abba, has no father. They don't know their father. And when one doesn't know their father, that's the strength of every home, a daddy. And that's why these pagan dark religions today, and this self-religion is destroying the minds of these wicked Jezebel women, have no understanding why they will not obey Yahweh and submit themselves unto the truth of his Torah, his teaching as obeying your husband. They don't want that today. And these weak-backed men that have no character of Yahweh, they will abandon Yahweh's truth to try to save their wicked sons and daughters. They will reject Yahweh's truth to try to maintain a wife. To hell with a wife. To hell with sons and daughters. Why? Because he is the one that made me. And I fear him. Why? Because he is able to destroy me. He is able to take me and to put me in the pit of darkness. I understand that. Put the shackles and the chains of bondage on me. I don't fear him that can kill me. I don't fear him one. Even Eob didn't fear him. Yahweh gave him over unto Shaitan. He said, save his life. You can't touch the breath in him. You can't touch the word in him. And even all the traumatic things he went through in the flesh, he did not touch the word in Eob. He still stood fast. He did not charge Yahweh foolishly. I don't care what men say. I don't care how they want to try to dissect that. He gave him friends like Elihu and those brothers to show him and to make sure that he was conscious of what was in him, and they would speak things to him. Well, you think you're righteous, Jehovah? You think you got it all? And then he had a young man there by the name of Elihu to say, I listen to all you men. I listen to your speaker. And I've honored you all. Now, can I speak? May I speak? And so Yahweh had those men there to make sure that Job did not try to justify himself, but he would justify Yahweh. And Job did that. That's why he gave it more than he had on the second time than he had the first time. We don't understand the character of Yahweh because it's been brought down to some kind of a fictional story. And in these whorehouses today, that's what they do. And yes, I will use that expression with this assembly, because if we become a whorehouse here, when there is no love of truth, when there is a disregard to Yahweh's Torah, the Tanakh, and the renewed covenant, when there's a disregard to truth, it has become a whorehouse, because we have begun to engage ourselves with other kinds of gods and strange gods. And that's what it's become. I don't take that back. Hallelujah, Yahweh. HaMashiach said, you made the house of Yahweh into the den of thieves. Nothing like a liar and a thief, because the end is ruins to them both. I hear men talk like that because I know they don't know scripture. They don't understand what the word of Yahweh says. That's why HaMashiach gave gifts. Yahweh gave gifts. And he sealed that with HaMashiach before he ascended. He descended into the earth and he gave gifts unto men. He did not give the gifts unto women, all right? He gave them unto men. He says in Yeshua, he said, for the indignation, the wrath of Yahweh shall be upon all nations. His hot displeasure, the fury of Yahweh. Now you tell me Yahweh is going to do this against all of his enemies. Against all those that reject truth. Against all those that are hypocritical and self-righteous. This is a hypocritical nation and a self-righteous nation. Canada, America, their superiority of their arrogance. That's what it's based upon. Their thievery and killing and pillaging and destroying other nations and lands and peoples. Sure they have. They're robbed. They're stolen. The Britons, the Englishmen, the Spanish, they have robbed. They've stolen. They have enslaved nations. Why? Because the love of money, their greed, and they're insensitive to those things. They were just insensitive. And that's truth. History teaches that. You can reject it, but it's just the truth. This is a greedy nation. This is a hypocritical nation. How can someone try to correct someone when their lives are not according to the standards of Yahweh? When their lives are falsehood? I stand before you today. You can judge me. Judge my character. I will not back down upon truth. I will not capitulate and make it conformity to your sins and your wickedness to your sons and your daughters. Let them go to hell. I will not conform. I will speak what Yahweh speaks. How do I know what he speaks? Because I know what scripture says. And I can go to scripture and find out what my Abba speaks every day. That's why he wants you to study, that you will know what he speaks. What he spoke to me in my dream, lies. How can he speak to you? Your mind is not prepared to hear from him. It's just like one studying for a test. They will remember those things in their dreams. Those mathematical problems, they'll go over that in their minds in their dream. Those history dates. They will do that. What I studied when I was in college, I didn't study for an hour. That would be nice that I would study all night, because I had to. I would study from 12, 11 until 6 in the morning. Maybe give me an hour sleep or something. So if I did that for a natural cause, which is fruitless and has not served me at all, what would I not do for my Abba, whereby I know that I'm going to die? Why would I not do that for him? If men would do that to obtain mastery, why not do it for Yahweh? Why not do it for him? I will give a great intensity to his studying than I will the natural cause. So all nations, he said, he's going to bring them before him. But he said there's going to be a great fury, a hot displeasure poured out upon them. He said, I'm going to deliver them to slaughter. And look what he says in verse 3. He said, their slain also shall be cast out. And their stench, their stink, they're going to stink. There's going to be a stench, a foul odor. It shall come up out of the carcasses, and the mountain shall be melted with their blood. He said, I'm going to bring down the high, powerful places and those strong things that they had trust in, their institutions, their techno-savvy minds and their computer-generated, savvy generation. He said, I'm going to bring them down. Why? Because I'm going to pour my hot indignation upon them. There's nothing that man creates today that brings man closer to Yahweh. Everything he creates removes him away from Yahweh. It causes his mind to be removed away from Yahweh. A man that goes out to work every day, he fills his home with things that cause his children to abandon Yahweh, not to think on Him. It gives them time to fill up their foolish pleasure with every kind of trinket, every kind of toy, every kind of little Spider-Man, every kind of hump man, and that trash in the little daughters with baby dolls and teddy bears and imaginary talking and interaction with things that are demonic and full of devilish powers. That's what they feed their minds with. And they wonder why they act like hell and they're bizarre and they say things that are so twisted and so corrupt because of what they've opened their little spirits unto. It is not of Yahweh. And Yahweh said, because of that, I'm going to pour out my fury. It's going to be a poisonous thing. It's nothing like an ass biting you. It's nothing like a copperhead biting you. Oh, you may not die, but you will wish you were dead. And if you're kind of weak, if you're not in the best shape when it bites you, you're going to die. If you're in some physical shape, it will not kill you. And Yahweh says, my fury is going to be like that. I'm going to pour it out upon your little daughters, your sons, your babies. Can I ask you a question? This is a generation full of hypocrisy. When he went down to Egypt, did he kill the firstborn? Were they all grown like me, or were they babies too? Were they babies too? Were their babies too? You ought to know that, because he killed Pharaoh's son, his firstborn. And for some reason we think that Yahweh is not that way. Well, he says he never changed. For what reason we have painted a picture of him that this is the character flaw, when a man of Yahweh shows the vengeance and the anger of Yahweh against his enemies that walk contrary to the will of Yahweh. You're an enemy of Yahweh. And that's the mind that is shapen today, that anything we perceive in our little melancholy way, well, it's wrong. It's not wrong. He's going to pour fire upon this wicked nation. They don't get angry at the faggots and the perverts. They don't get angry with them feeding their children with Ritalin. It wouldn't surprise me that the foods that they put on the table in the cafeterias of the schools, they're not drugged. They do it in the prison houses. This is a corrupt world. You wonder why the pharmaceutical industry is so prolific in their money-making ventures. Why? Because they've got a sick nation here in America, the industrialized world. And those nations across the world, don't tell me that the mindset of man will not do that. When they purposely infected 200,000 men in America, black men with syphilis, don't tell me they will not do that. Don't tell me that's not the mindset of this world. And watch those men die and transmit that to their wives. This is a twisted world. This is a devilish world. It's controlled by the powers of hell. And that's why they attack Yahweh. The enemies of Yahweh, Yahweh is angry with it. He's going to pour his wrath down upon these wicked twin nations. American, Canada, Britain. Hallelujah, Yahweh. And I want it to come. You're going to suffer. That's all right, because I'm going to trust in Him. I wait on Him. If I die for Him, what gain have I gained? All the gain. I've gained everything. Hallelujah. Look what he says on down in the 66th chapter of the book of Yeshua. I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. Every enemy of the assembly of Yahweh shall be destroyed. Everyone that is opposed and opposed the truth of Yahweh. And he's going to show us here the final destruction and the ruins of unrighteous men. When we do things that are unrighteous, how do you know you're doing something unrighteous? How do you know when you're sinning? When you transgress the Torah. When you don't treat your brother the way Torah teaches you to do. When you don't treat your sister that way. And Yahweh is angry with that attitude. He says this in Yeshua 66 verse 15. For look, now it says behold. He says, for look, Yahweh will come with fire. And with His chariots like whirlwind, to render what? To render His anger. You tell me that's how Yahweh is coming? Upon this unregenerated nation and people of the nations of the world. It did not say He's coming with a peace offering. It did not say He's coming with the Ahava offering. He's coming in His anger. He's coming in His anger and His resentment. And that's what anger is. Really, anger is an expression of a sharp, keen resentment. You resent that. That's what it is. That's what anger is, just that. It's a resentment. See, people see the expression of anger as, well, you shouldn't have done that. Well, if HaMashiach got angry, Moshe got angry, and all the men got angry, you tell me you're not going to get angry today. You get angry at the righteous, those that are diametrically opposed to Yahweh's truth. You should get angry. And if you don't, something is wrong with you. And that's what angry is. It's just a keenness, a sharp resentment. It allows nothing at all. When you get angry, don't you resent the thing that you're angry at? That's why you get angry. He's coming in His angry, in His anger. And look at this. And he gives us another expression of His anger and fury. Burning anger. It's an anger of rage. It's like a wild man. He's going to tear this place to hell. He's coming in fury. And His anger, He's going to rage. And His rebuke with flames of fire. Now that word fire expressed the anger, the ass of Yahweh. He's coming that way. This is the one we think we know. Is this part of His character? Sure it is. Everyone that's an enemy of Yahweh, those that oppose His truth, you are an enemy of Yahweh. You don't love Him. You're against Him. Yahweh says, I'm coming, and I want to tell you how I'm coming too. I want you to know how I'm coming. I'm not coming tiptoeing through the tulips. I'm coming with vengeance. I am coming with fire. I'm coming with the rage and the, I'm going to ravage this whole house. I'm going to tear it to hell. Sure He is. Yahweh says that in Ezekiel, He said that my people, even the women, they were there in the tabernacle weeping for Tammuz. And people today weep for their sons and daughters that are given over unto Tammuz and the gods of this world. I will not weep for them. They weep for them. They're so concerned about them. Save yourself. You can't save them. I can't save you at all. It is the hearing of the preaching that calls you to walk in the light of His truth. That calls bring great conviction. And you must have someone. If you sit here like they do in all these other whorehouses and no conviction, you'll just continue to do the things you do. So what Yahweh does, He awakens you to get near Him, to hear what He says, that lets you know you're not about what you should be. And what He's trying to let us know, I'm angry with you. He's talking to His people right here. He says, I'm angry with you. I don't like the way you're doing things. I'm upset with you. You may think that I'm not, but I'm angry. Now, I'm bringing judgment to you that you may repent, because if I come in the heat of my anger, I'm going to tear you to hell. I'm going to knock you down. I'm going to stomp you, your flesh. I'm going to kill you in the stench of it. It's going to fall in the street, and no one is going to remove your body. It's coming to this nation. It's a nation full of pride and arrogance. It is a nation that is angry with Yahweh. I looked in the living section of the Observer this morning, and they all got this pagan damnable celebration of the East Star. Seeking for their God of the East and the star from the East, the Eastern religion, pagan practices. And they have pages filled up with that. Don't you understand a little ad like that in the Observer will cost $600-$700? For their sunrise services, their Good Friday, their pagan, and their Easter egg rolls and things like that. That is wicked and so satanic. This is against Yahweh. You should not even touch those things that have been sacrificed to idols and gods. There are people who go in the stores and they got the Easter candy offering. Oh, I will buy the jelly beans. I will not buy that trash. I will not eat that which has been sacrificed unto gods. You bring damnation to your soul. You bring damnation to your life when you lay hands on that, because it's cheap. I wouldn't give a nickel's worth of rat's dung. It has been sacrificed to Esther, the gods of darkness. And so the world know that you're ignorant. We hate Yahweh. We're His enemies. We'll go right on when it's over with so I can buy. Not so. There are Easter dresses on sale, a suit for the boys. Why? Because they could sell out before Easter, and they draw in the other pagans that say, we know Yahweh, we bad. Wrong! It's not right. And I tell you that. Around these holidays, I hate to go to the store. I don't hardly buy anything during them. Why? Because I know what it's about. I love my Abba. And I'm not suffering for anything. Hallelujah, Yahweh. As Marilla said, I'm not suffering for no friendship. I got His. You understand that? He says, and they're slain. Look at this now. He said, my anger and my fury and my rebuke of flame of fire. Verse 16. For by fire, and that is Yahweh's anger. For by fire and by the sword will Yahweh plead with some flesh. Are we included in that all? And the slain of Yahweh shall be a few. It shall be many. It's by the fire of His anger He pleads with flesh. And that's what He's doing today. Any parent that have raised children, you've raised children, you never tell me you talked to them and you were angry and trying to express or get a point across. You tell me there was not a time in your anger you're trying to express something to get that across to them. Don't tell me you didn't become furious. And this is a wicked, corrupt generation. They think that Yahweh doesn't do that. He's angry with the wicked every day. Well, who's He talking about? The wickedness of the heart of His people. our rejection, our lolling, our poverty, because we love to sleep and slumber. We don't take no time for Him. That angers Yahweh. If you love your wife, man, wife, you love your husband, will you not spend a little time with him? Will you not take what we call valuable time? You should take time with them. And if you love Yahweh, will you not take time with him? I'm not just talking about here on the Shabbat, because it's commanded, because it's part of the world. It should be a time in your daily life of devotion. You take time with Yahweh. If you got time to sit and talk for 2 hours, don't tell me you don't have time to study the word of Yahweh. Come on, your daddies, your wives, your children. You also sit down and study scripture. When they don't want to do it, you command them to do it. It's not what they want to do. My mother would say, as long as you're in my house, you're going to do what I say. And I'm telling all of you all this. As long as you're all in Yahweh's house here, you're going to do what he commands you to do here. Or you will leave from this place. I don't care who you are. But as long as you're here, you're going to do what he commands by scripture. Well, who do you think you are? Tell me what? Tell me who you think you are. That you're not going to do what he commands you to do. You're going to do it here. And that's truth. We're going to base things upon scripture. Now, if you want to challenge me, make sure you come with scripture, okay? Don't come with your emotions, because they stink. They have no value at all. Hallelujah, Yahweh. He says, listen to this, the slain shall be many. They that have sanctified themselves, we make ourselves right, don't we? In our own eyes, all the ways of a man, they're pure in whose eyes? His own eyes. And Yahweh, wait, he pondereth the ruah of a man, doesn't he? He said they have sanctified themselves, and they have purified themselves in the garden behind one tree in the midst. Eating what? Swine. Eating the filthy things. You know, parents, when you eat and when you subjugate yourself unto the lies and the corruption of your sons and daughters, when you accept their corrupt ways, that's what that represents. You've hidden yourself so no one can see you in your little private quarters, and you eat your pig meat, your pig feet. Well, I don't want nobody to know that. Well, the Lord Jezebel, you ought to want someone to know it. See, a pure mother in the days of the Torah, of the Tanakh, she would take that rebellious little Jezebel, take it before the elders, and say, this little hoe, that's what she would say. She's a gluttonous, she's a drunkard, she's a Jezebel. And if the witness was true, they would stone that little heifer and that little pervert, get the evil out of Israel. And what they do today, they sit behind some little hidden tree, and they discuss it secretly, and they hide their little secret thing that they don't realize these are the secret sins of their hearts. And they sit and eat swine flesh. They don't want nobody to know that the son is the fool, the daughter is the Jezebel. That's the truth. But believe me, they want to know about your son or your daughter. They sit behind some secret tree eating swine flesh. I know what I'm preaching, because I study enough to know what it says. And I correlate scripture with scripture too, all right? I know what I'm saying. That's what they do. He said they sit behind some strange thing in the midst, eating swine flesh, and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together. Says Yahweh, he said, I'm going to destroy them all. Now that's what they eat. They eat filthy things, lies and corruption. And they got their little secret hidden things of their heart. Because Yahweh, he said, I'm angry with you. I'm going to destroy you. He said, for I know their work and their thought. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come, and they shall see my splendor. He said, they're going to see my splendor. When I come in the midst of my fierce anger, they're going to see my splendor. There's no one like Yahweh. And you're not going to be an enemy of Yahweh. When you detest truth, you're an enemy. Because you reject truth, and you turn your heart away from truth, you're an enemy. When you don't obey his mitzvahs, when you do not keep his Torah, when this revelation truth of HaMashiach is not alive in you, you're an enemy of Yahweh. I don't care how much you say, oh, I love Yahweh, I love God. That means nothing at all. Your love is not expressed with some verbiage. It's expressed by keeping the mitzvahs, the commandments, holding fast to the truth of Yahweh. And it is evident in your life because there's an abundance of fruit. I don't care how much you say you love him. That doesn't mean a nickel's worth of rocks dung. Everybody says that. Our love toward him is not expressed just in some verbiage. It's expressed in perfect obedience. Because obedience, there's nothing like it. So you can express that all you want to. Unless there's fruit there, you have no ahava for Yahweh. No whatsoever. It's expressed by obedience. It's expressed by faithfulness. It's expressed by commitment unto him. And this is a generation that's his enemy. This is a people that is an enemy of Yahweh. Your sons and your daughters, they're birthed with ignorance. They're birthed with a deranged mentality today. Why? Because you were not in here to discipline. You were not in here to counsel. Because you thought you knew everything. No one could tell you nothing. And it's one thing about a wise person. They will always be instructed. They will understand a man that is wiser than them. And they receive it. So a fool despises that they reject it. Or a silly, immature daughter or immature son cannot receive the instruction of their avant and their ima because they think they know they're stupid as hell. You try to justify them. I will not justify the Jezebel. I will not. I will not. I will preach. You offend, Pastor Roberts. The reason you're easily offended because you do not have a love for Yahweh. I'd rather offend that corrupt flesh of yours than offend him. Because there's one thing about the love of Yahweh, it's not easily offended. Do you hear me there, young brother, if you're listening? The love of Yahweh is not easily offended. When a man has love in him, he's not easily offended. And I'm not easily offended. I am not. And when you get that truth in you, you're not easily offended. You know what truth says. Oh, you get offended. Oh, that's all right. I'm over with that. That doesn't bother me. I can deal with it. He goes on to say, listen to this. This is important here. In Jeremiah, Yahweh exhorts Yehudah to repent. Now, that's what he's doing to you today, exhorting you to repent, expressing that to you. You need to repent. Change your way. Turn from your evil ways. Brothers and sisters, think about this. Let's just think. I want you all y'all look at me. Now, think about this. How much time, do you spend all your time on you and your thoughts and what is important to you and what is valuable? That's where you spend your time. And Scripture tells you to consider your brother, your sister, esteem those higher, more highly than you. Consider them. And that's all we're concerned with. Me, myself, and I. It is a corrupt mentality. It's an enemy of Yahweh. How can you love Yahweh with all? What is all about me? I might be on him, our conversation, our talk. You will not allow corrupt things to come out of you. Well, Pastor Robert, you use certain things. No, I know they're not what you would call cursing because I'm not speaking to curse to Yahweh's people. I tell you the truth and I tell us our sins and our corruption. That's what I do. I show how we are fallen and how far we removed ourselves from Yahweh. We're not close to him. We're not near him. That's why we can't hear what he say. And when someone says something because you have such animosity against Yahweh, it offends you. You get angry because there's no love for Yahweh. And that's why you're easily perturbed. Now I'm talking to us here. You that are listening as well. And whoever may hear this broadcast, I'm talking to you. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Jeremiah, he says in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3. For this says Yahweh, this is what Yahweh says to the men of Yehudah and the men of Jerusalem. He said, I want you to break up your fallow ground. I want you to break up that hard ground. Now, if you don't understand what breaking up that hard ground is, you watch Brother Chris when he put those tines on that big tractor. That's a 160 horsepower tractor. And it sits down in that dirt out there. And if he did not have some bolts that would break when the pressure becomes so extreme, it would flip that tractor. And so when he sits that tractor down in the dirt, that fallow ground, he goes and he does what we call subsoiling. He gets down. He gets down whereby he gets down to the layer where the water can come up from the ground. That's what those times do, they break down. Now that's what needs to be done to you. You need to be broken up. Whereby the living water from the well of Hamashiach that flows from you, it may flow in your life. And we don't want to be broken today because we are so soft-hearted. We don't want to be broken. Can I tell you there are going to be many days you're going to be broken. There are going to be things that are going to break your heart. They're going to break your will. We're going to have confidence in Yahweh like David did. And there is where his confidence was in Yahweh. He trusted him. Eob trusted Yahweh. Even if you slay me, I will trust you. And that's the kind of mentality we must get. And they did not have the power of this living truth the way we did. They believed it and they trusted it and they walked in it. We have seen the living power of it. And that's why it's going to be woe unto us. Oh, I know what they call it, quote, grace. Lies. I don't serve a Jezebel grace. It is the love of Yahweh. Nothing we have done to gain it, but he has shown his love toward us. He says to Yehudah and Jerusalem, break up the fallow ground, the hard ground. And he said, don't sow among thorns. You know what thorns does? How much you tell you what they do, don't they? In the parable of the seeds, he said, when the seed is sown among what thorns, what does it do? It what? It what? And that's what it does. It chokes out. And so in order for you, brother and sister, hear me. You need to get those thorny issues out of your life. You got little issues when they're talking about their thorns in you. They touch you and they get you. You get upset about them. You better get those little thorny, wicked issues out of your life.
And so your little phony issues choke out the word of the power of the word. You can't receive it. You say, I will not accept that because of your little phony issues. You better cleanse yourself. And that's what you've been doing. You've been sowing the word of Yahweh among thorns. Your thorny little issues and your little likes and your dislikes. Your disapprovers and your approvers. And so you got these thorns. And every time you hear the word of Yahweh, you can't hear. You can't get close and it chokes it out. Yahweh says, I'm angry with you. He said, you have not known the vengeance of my anger. I'm angry with that. My fury is going to burn. That's what thorns do. They choke out the word. You hear it and you go right out of here because of your issues. Because Pastor Roberts or some man of Yahweh said something. It creates and it brings up that little issue in your heart, that little thorny issue. That little thorn, it chokes out the word. The word has no place, it has no power. It doesn't create the dynamic system in you and that diversity that you should walk in. And the strength of Yahweh, and the power of Yahweh, the anointing of Yahweh, the truth of Yahweh, the direction of Yahweh. That's the dynamics we ought to walk in. Hallelujah, Yahweh. The blessing, the joy of Yahweh, the happiness of Yahweh. Our expression, our countenance express Him and the power of His fruit in our lives. The fruit of Yahweh is not expressed in your lives if you're not walking in the expression of Yahweh. And that's the truth. You know, you hear that little answer, as she says, at that picture that she was telling Marilla about, that is supposed to be HaMashiach. She said, I can't believe that his expression was that sad. Because no little children would come around him if he looked like that. The scripture says he was a man acquainted. Acquainted. I'm acquainted with sorrows and griefs. He was a man acquainted. He was a man acquainted. Hallelujah. He was a man acquainted. He was acquainted. You have acquaintances and associates that you will not walk like them. You go to work, Brother Dale, and you're acquainted with people, associates. You're not like them. And so you allow your thorny issues to choke out the word of Yahweh. He said, don't sow among thorns. So Brother Chris goes out and get that. He goes down to the depth whereby the plants will, the root of the plant will dig down. They know it's water there, so the root goes down, it gets stronger, it produces more, it's not susceptible to diseases if it's sitting around the top of the soil. So you break it up and so the roots can get down. And you need to get the love of Yahweh in you so that you can get rooted and grounded in Him and the root get deep in Him. See, your root and your love is in your youngins, your daddy, your mama, your husband, your wife, and it's not in Yahweh. He said to love Him first above all things. And then you love yourself or you'll love your neighbor as you love yourself. In order for you to understand your pure love for Him, you got to show love and expression to Him with all obedience unto Him. How can you love someone else? You can tell me you love me all day. That doesn't mean a nickel what the rats make. No man loves his wife. It's just going to go out and commit adultery. And a woman loves her husband is not going to do that. We have done things in our sin and our wickedness because we didn't understand the power of love. You don't charge a man or a woman with that when they began to grow in the power of the revelation of truth. But what is done in the ignorance is some of the blood. When a man comes to the knowledge of the truth, he begins to walk in the light. He does those things. There ain't no love there. I don't care what you say. He hasn't slipped. Why? Because he has hope and strength. He can do all things in the confidence and the trust of Yahshua HaMashiach. He can. So he's without excuse. So when a man comes to the knowledge and all the things he has done, they are forgiven. He did it in ignorance. He didn't know how to express love. How many of you all know how to express love? And you still don't know how to express it. Come on here, somebody. Love is not begrudging. It holds no animosity. It doesn't seek wrong or evil for a brother or sister. It doesn't look for someone to go under. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to pour my anger upon you because you have sown, you have not plowed up the fallow ground. He goes on to say in verse 4, circumcise yourself to Yahweh. Now is that for you too? He says circumcise. Now what we need to do is circumcise the foreskin of our heart. And you know what is the foreskin of your heart? You know what's around your heart today? It's filthiness. It's uncleanliness. It's pride. It's arrogance. It's haughtiness. It's hatred. He said circumcise. It's your superiority. Your intellect, it means nothing. He said, cut that fat away. It's pig meat. It's pig fat. That's why you can't hear me. Circumcise your heart. Circumcise the foreskin of your heart. That's what you do. You began to cut away that trash. You began to circumcise, separate yourself from that word. Your emotions, your petty feelings, your likes and your dislikes. The word that said to you that offended you. You get some real genuine hava on you, you won't be so offended easy. You get some real in you, you won't be so offended. You will not begrudge your brother or sister if you get the real stuff in you.